The gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, and it's found in your pew Bibles on page 939. Listen to God's word for us. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Oh no, I'm starting with the ending verse. This is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for all that you are. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your guidance and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in junior high school, it was the first year was really a tough year for me. It seemed like that the first year in junior high school, when I was making new acquaintances, going to a new school, it seemed like I was in a fight almost every week. 1 week in a fight with one person, the next week in a fight with someone else, kids who used to test you out just to see, because you come from another section of the city, but was in a fight almost every week. But one of the wonderful things was that usually in the midst of those fights, my two younger brothers would sometimes show up, and it would be a wonderful source of comfort and consolation to have someone that was on your side. I was watching a program several years ago about a government official who was being investigated for some act of malfeasance. He was brought before a congressional committee, and he had his lawyer by his side, and every time the congressman would ask him a question, his lawyer would intervene and would answer the question or whisper in his ear or tell him what to say or not to say. Suddenly, the congressman who was asking the questions became a little exasperated, and he asked the lawyer, "Are you going to let him speak?" And the lawyer said, "That's my job. I'm not a potted plant, but my job is to be here alongside my client and to represent him." One of the great comforts and consolations of life is to know that you are not alone. That in the midst of the trials and tribulations of life, you have someone to come alongside of you. Someone who helps you, who guides you, who comforts you, who counsels you, who speaks for you. Someone who always has your best interest at heart. Many of us are fortunate to have people like that in our lives. It may be a parent or a grandparent. It may be a sibling or a spouse. It may be a teacher or a pastor. It may be a whole community of people. But whoever it is someone that we can count on to be with us, to come alongside of us as we make our way through the twists and turns of life. But it's also true that sooner or later, many of us will also come to know that sense of dislocation and loss when those who have been alongside of us are, for whatever reason, no longer with us. It may be a move. It may be a breakup. It may be a divorce. It may be a death. But we are left feeling alone and frightened and vulnerable, filled with all kind of questions, because as human beings, we need others to be alongside of us. It is this sense of anticipated loss that Jesus' disciples are no doubt experiencing in our gospel lesson this morning. The scene takes place during the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, right before Jesus is crucified, on the night before he is crucified. It is a scene that is filled with pathos as Jesus tells his disciples that he will be leaving them soon. He'll be going away. For 3 years, he has been with them, leading them, guiding them, instructing them, loving them. He has been their master, their teacher, their Lord, their God who is with them. He has comforted them, consoled them, advised them. But now he tells them that he will be going away. And we can just imagine the questions that they have deep down inside of their hearts. What will we do? How will we survive? Who will lead us? Who will guide us? Who will comfort us? What will we do? It's in the midst of this impending loss that Jesus shares the good news with them, that even though he is going away, that he will not leave them orphaned. He will not leave them by themselves, but he will send the Holy Spirit to them. The Greek word that Jesus uses is the word parakletos. And it's a word that is rarely used in the New Testament. In fact, it's only used 5 times in the New Testament, but it has a variety of translations, and it's translated in different ways. Sometimes the word is translated as a helper, someone who will come to help us and assist us as we seek to be God's faithful people in the world. None of us can be faithful people of God on our own. We all need help. We need the help from each other, and we also need help from God. And so Jesus promises to send the paraclete, someone to help us. Sometimes the word is interpreted as counselor, someone who counsels and advises us and leads us into God's truth. In a world of competing truth claims about right and wrong, good and evil, we need a counselor to lead us and guide us into God's truth. Sometimes the word is interpreted as comforter. That's how it was interpreted in our reading this morning that Sarah read. Someone who comes to comfort us and soothe us and reassure us of God's love for us whenever we fall down and are beat up by the world. And sometimes the word is translated as advocate. Someone who speaks for us, who champions our cause, who fights for us like a good lawyer in a court of law. The word parakletos can mean all of these things. But its very basic meaning is someone who comes alongside of you. And that is what Jesus is saying to his disciples this morning. Even though I'm going away, even though I'll no longer be with you in the body, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you alone. I am going to send you the Spirit to come alongside of you, to help you, to comfort you, to counsel you, to speak for you. Now, we Presbyterians sometimes have a little bit of difficulty whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit. We're not quite sure what to do with the Holy Spirit. As Presbyterians, we usually like things to be decent and in order. But the Spirit does not always respect our orderliness. The Spirit often blows where it will and is not controllable by what we would like to do. And so we sometimes have problems understanding or knowing what to do with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is indeed a mystery. But the Holy Spirit is essentially the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' own Spirit that he is promising to send. The same Spirit that came upon him at his baptism in the River Jordan when he heard the voice of God declare him to be the beloved Son. The same Spirit that propelled him out into the world to embark upon his kingdom ministry of healing and teaching and casting out demons. The same Spirit that had compassion for the multitudes that followed him wherever he went. The same Spirit that led and guided him to the cross of Calvary in an act of obedient, self-giving love. It's that Spirit that Jesus now promises to send the disciples who are gathered in his name. He tells them that he will not leave them orphaned. He will not leave them alone, but that he will come alongside of them. He will be with them, even though he will not be with them in the body. That's a comforting thought. It's a comforting thought for us as individuals, and it's a comforting thought as a church. To know that in the midst of all that we go through, in the midst of all that we experienced, in the midst of everything that happens to us, the good things and the bad things, that Christ will never leave us. That he is always by our side. I was watching a program not long ago about orphaned children around the world. Children that had no one to look after them. Children who basically had to fend for themselves. Some of them had lost their parents because of war and conflict. Some of them had lost their parents because of disease. In Africa, they were talking about thousands upon thousands of children who are left orphaned by the AIDS epidemic. Some of them, like the orphans in Haiti a few years back, had lost their parents because of the earthquake and other natural disasters. Around the world, there are many children who are orphaned. And indeed, around the world, there are many people who are alone, many people who stand alone, who have to face the world all by themselves, wishing that they had someone alongside of them as they confronted the difficulties of life. But Jesus tells us this morning that he will never leave us, that his Spirit will always be alongside of us. He will not leave us orphaned. That's what he tells us. But there's just one condition, he says, one condition of his presence being in our midst, one condition of him being alongside of us in the Spirit. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you my Spirit. If you love me. If we keep the Lord's commandments, he has told us that he will never leave us alone. That's what he is saying this morning. Even though he will be absent in the body, if we keep his commandments, his spiritual presence will be with us. But what are the commandments that Jesus wants us to keep? What is Jesus talking about when he says, keep my commandments? What commandments does he want us to keep? Earlier on this same night in John's gospel, we are told that Jesus tells his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." And indeed, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that the whole of the law, all of the Ten Commandments, can be summed up in two: love the Lord your God with all of your might, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we love God and love our neighbors, Jesus has promised to be present with us. Now, I don't believe that the Lord is ever absent from us. I believe that Jesus is always present to us. He is always close. He is always nearby. But sometimes we have problems discerning the Lord's presence with us. Sometimes we have problems knowing that God is with us. I hear people say that all the time. Sometimes I feel that God is absent. Sometimes I feel that God does not care. Sometimes I feel that God is not close by. He's not listening to me. I wish I could feel the presence of God in my life. I wish I could feel the presence of God when I'm at worship. I wish I could feel that God was close by. I wish I knew that Jesus' presence was with me. Jesus' presence is always with us. But whether we discern that presence and feel that presence depends upon our capacity to love. The more we love one another, the more we feel his presence with us. The more expansive our hearts, the more readily we can discern God's loving presence and the loving presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. We are called to keep his commandment to love one another. And when we do that, we can discern his presence alongside of us. But what is this love that Jesus is talking about? What does it mean to love our neighbor? Is it just an emotion? Is it just a warm and fuzzy feeling that we have towards one another? That's the way our society often talks about love. It's just a feeling, just an emotion, the intensity of which one day will subside, but it's just an emotion that we feel for someone else. But that's not what Jesus means when he tells us to love one another. Love is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. It is an action. To love someone is to come alongside of them. It is to help them when they are in need of help. It is to comfort them when they are in need of comfort. It is to counsel them when they are in need of counsel. It is to speak for them and advocate for them when they are in need of an advocate. Jesus says that when we come alongside of each other in acts of self-giving love, then he promises that his spiritual presence will come alongside of all of us. Kids can sometimes say the most interesting things. They can often say things that are quite difficult to explain. And I remember once when a child in Sunday school asked what the Holy Spirit looked like. What does the Holy Spirit look like? And I remembered the words of one of my seminary professors who said, if someone asks you about the Holy Spirit, just tell them it's a mystery and leave the room before they can ask any more questions. But it was hard to do that with children. But I found myself at a loss of words. The Holy Spirit is a mystery. He blows where it will. You can't always see the Holy Spirit, but you can see evidence of the Holy Spirit and all of those other things that children couldn't understand. But we do know what the Holy Spirit looks like, because the Holy Spirit, again, is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His Spirit. And because we know what Jesus looked like, because we know what the heart of Jesus looked like, the heart of Jesus that opened itself for all of us, we know what the Holy Spirit looks like. But the Holy Spirit also looks like us. It looks like you, and it looks like me. Every time when we engage in an act of kindness with one another, we resemble the Holy Spirit. Every time we bother to become involved in one another's lives, we look like the Holy Spirit. Every time we show compassion for one another and bring each other close to us and dare to get involved in each other's lives, we look like the Holy Spirit. Every time we speak up for one another and speak up for those who have no voice, every time we demand justice for people who are denied it, we look like the Holy Spirit. We look like the Holy Spirit because we look like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we faithfully love Him and love one another. And Jesus says that when we do all of that, when we come alongside one another, then He comes alongside of us. We can feel His presence with us. Jesus says, the world cannot give you this Spirit. The world cannot give us the Spirit that Jesus gives us. The world cannot do it because the world doesn't know Him. The world cannot give us the Spirit of love. The world can only give us the Spirit of power and domination and greed. But the Spirit that Jesus promises us comes from Him. We have it. It comes in the midst of us, alongside of us. And it is the Spirit to do what He Himself has done, to love each other and to love God for all that we are worth. So on this day, as we remember those who have left us, as we remember those who were once by our sides but who are now gone, let us remember that there is someone who will never leave us. There is someone who is always close by. There is someone who is always in reach. There is someone who will never leave us to fend for ourselves. There is someone who calls us even now to know that He is with us, to know that He loves us. That person is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He calls us to love each other so that He might be revealed in our midst. Let us love God, and let us love each other with all of our hearts and minds and soul, so that we might reveal and bear witness to the presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our midst. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give You thanks for Your grace and mercy in our lives. We give You thanks for Your spiritual presence, the spiritual presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. We ask, Lord, that You help us to be open to the movement of Your Spirit in our midst, and that You help us to be opened, and that You help us to love one another as You have commanded us to love. That is the great commandment that You have given us that often makes us feel uncomfortable, we confess. We're often uncomfortable with the love talk because it binds us and asks us to be bounded to one another. But You have called us. You have called us to be Your people. You have called us to bear witness to who You are. You have called us to reveal the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out into the world. And that means to love one another and to love the world that You have called us to serve. We ask the power of Your Spirit as we seek to do that with integrity and with all of our heart and mind. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.